Carl Bolster. He's with the USDARS in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
And if you notice, if you preside, you get the same coat. So, all right, thank you. Today I'm going to be talking about some research. It's preliminary. So, in fact, when I was going over it this morning, I caught a couple errors. So, I welcome your feedback. But basically looking at comparing phosphorus loss predictions between an annual time step model and a daily time step model. I just want to recognize my co-authors, Adam Forsberg and David Radcliffe from University of Georgia, Aaron Middlestadt and Daniel Storm from Oklahoma State, John Ramirez Avila from Mississippi State, and Deanna Osman from North Carolina State. Okay, so we're all aware of this. Phosphorus losses from agricultural fields is a recognized problem in the U.S. and throughout the world. As a result, a lot of best management practices, well, maybe not a lot, but best management practices have been developed to minimize, to mitigate these losses. But oftentimes we're unable to run those experiments and test them under our conditions and say, yes, this BMP is going to be effective under these conditions. So what do we rely on? Well, we rely on models. Also, many of you are aware, and some of you participated in, recently NRCS revised their 590 nutrient management standard in part because of concerns over the phosphorus index. And one of the issues with the phosphorus index is, for many states, is it has not been evaluated, tested against actual data. So some of us were on a committee, on a work group, and recommended that when those data aren't available, that you could evaluate your index by seeing if it was consistent with the output of a phosphorus loss model. Okay, what's implied in that, though, that Pont model must be accurate, all right? And I'd say reasonably accurate. And if I were to be quoted, I would like to say model reasonably accurate most of the time, because I think that's about as good as we're ever going to get. So, compare two models, the annual P-loss estimator model, which was developed by Pete Bottas at ARS, with a Texas Best Management Practice evaluation tool developed by Mike White and others at ARS. So the main differences between these models, APLE, number one, is an annual time step model. Okay, so we know that phosphorus loss is generally, or completely, an event-based mechanism. So APLE cannot account for the fact that you applied your manure one day before rain event, and 10 days before. It just has an annual input, annual runoff. But it has a more rigorous phosphorus application module. It specifically accounts for phosphorus that's left on the surface. It's empirically based. So oftentimes we have this kind of continuum of an empirically based model, which is essentially a regression model relating phosphorus loss at a point to characteristics that are measured up at the field. Then you have TBET, that's essentially a window version, an easy interface to SWOT, a process-based, though it does have some empirical relationships in it. But the perceived advantage of a process-based model is that it's more transferable in both space and time because it's capturing the actual physical processes that are governing phosphorus loss. And again, it's a daily time step model, so it's going to be able to capture those event-based losses. So what we did was compare the model predictions, both dissolved P and either particulate P loss or total P loss, for a suite of sites located throughout the South. And as you'll see, we have sites, these data were collected, and all these sites, we didn't collect the data, they've been published. But in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi, Georgia, and North Carolina, and we have, I believe it's 94 measures of annual phosphorus loss. So a couple things. APLE does not generate any predictions of runoff or erosion. So it's certainly a limitation. However, in this study, I would argue it actually turns out well, because we took the runoff and erosion that was calculated by TBET and put into Apple. So now we're comparing only the phosphorus loss component between the two models and the fact that one's an annual time step and one's daily. So we're using the same runoff values and the same erosion values for the two models. So here we have on the x-axis, Apple predicted dissolved pea loss, and on the y. So first we're going to compare the output from the two models, and then we'll look at each model individually with the measured runoff data. So first just want to see, what is our big difference between the two? If you take a look at the results, you can see a couple things. One is that Apple generally predicts higher dissolved pea loss than TBET. The data are shifted to the right of that one-to-one line. If you look at the residuals on the right, they're negative, meaning Apple is calculating on a consistent basis greater values of dissolved pea loss than TBET. You will notice on for the Oklahoma data set, though, falls pretty close to the one-to-one line. All right, so if we look at just our general goodness of fit statistics, we can see that there's a very strong correlation between the two models. Okay, so when one's predicting greater concentrations of greater amounts of P loss, the other one as well. The model efficiency for all sites is 0.75, but it varies between sites. Okay, so sometimes, and again, so you might be wondering, well, why would you have a high correlation but not a good model efficiency? And that's basically, the model efficiency is also accounting for the fact, how close are you to that one-to-one line? Correlations just say, are they generally correlated? You could have something that's as a slope of 4, very low model efficiency, but a very strong correlation. Okay. And then the percent bias, you can see it's consistently positive, again, because the Apple model, for a variety of conditions, so the studies varied in physiographic region, the weather, phosphorus application rates, the type of manure that's applied, whether it's incorporated. So this covers a wide range of conditions. All right, so what about particulate pea loss? Well, now we see something different, right? We see that the data are now on the left-hand side of this one-to-one line, indicating that TBET is actually consistently predicting greater particulate pea losses as compared to Apple. If you look at the residuals here, and you'll notice one thing, is the North Carolina data, very high predictions. And this is because TBET was predicting very high erosion rates. And I don't know if we've got that figured out, but I think it's consistent. We've tried it in many ways. And I guess I should back up and say one more thing. This is an uncalibrated model. So we're looking strictly, this is uncalibrated runoff and erosion. But if we change the scale here, we still see with the residuals that TBET is calculating on a consistent basis. So we see a consistent difference between these two models, which I think is actually important. And I guess, all right, so in looking at this, again, strong correlations, actually with the Georgia data set, it's an inverse correlation, but strong correlations. But the model efficiency, the only reason that this is really that high, and I should have recalculated it, is because that North Carolina data set, they're predicting similar P losses, and if you know anything about the way these metrics are calculated, values that are very high dominate how this number is calculated. So that's going to change if we were to move the North Carolina data set. Now we have P bias values negative. Again, TBET consistently predicting greater losses of particulate pea loss compared with Apple. Now, one thing might be, well, we know, you know, is this related to anything as far as land management? And I didn't find any correlations between phosphorus application rate, runoff values, the erosion values. There's a relationship between the residuals, the differences, and the two models. But really, there was nothing that just stood out and said, okay, this is because we know Apple calculates, does a better job, or we think a more representative job describing phosphorus loss from surface, phosphorus on the surface. Didn't see any correlation between the residuals and that. So still trying to figure out why the consistent difference. So now, where the rubber meets the road, what about our observed dissolved P loss? Is there a difference? Is one model better than the other? So here is the Apple predicted dissolved P loss and our measured dissolved P loss. Again, all annual. The one-to-one line, you can see at least it's around that one-to-one line. It's not way up here or way down here, so that's a good thing. However, we see there's quite a bit of variability, right? A lot of undescribed variability by the model. Well, with TBET, we doesn't look all that much better. So what we're seeing is similar behavior, and again, this is a log-log plot, so these are large residuals. A lot of difference, a lot of unaccounted for variability. So if we look at the model residuals, and one thing about what residuals can tell us, in a well-designed model, you would expect the residuals to vary around zero, to have a mean of zero, and to vary around this line randomly and in a constant. That variance should be constant, shouldn't be increasing or decreasing with increased values. And you can see that the residuals do not fall under that those expectations. Well, with TBET, you might say, well, that's a little bit better. And yeah, that's true. It probably is a little bit better. But I don't know if it's strikingly better. So let's take a look at our goodness of fit statistics. Slightly improved overall correlation between the model with TBET over Apple. Improved model efficiency, not great with either of them, but yes, TBET's doing a little better. The percent bias, again, so what we're saying is Apple is generally over-predicting P loss based on our measured values. And TBET is actually generally under predicting on average. The mean absolute percent error, just a way to tell us what's the mean, and actually this is the median. Any given prediction, what's that percent error from the observed value? TBET's a little bit better, but we're talking 87 and 73% overall. So a little better. KTR slope, probably don't have much time to get into this, but typical linear regression, there's certain assumptions that are made that just are not valid when you're comparing observed and model data. The KTR slope actually is a non-parametric method, and it takes care of a couple of the assumptions that are violated, but as I'll talk in a minute, well, as I'll say now. So you know, oftentimes we'll look at that one-to-one line, and we'll do a regression, and let's say a model that's closest to a value of one, you say is better because it's doing a better job. And TBET is closer to one, obviously, than Apple. But this method also assumes that the independent variable, the X variable, is error-free. So flip it around, flip our X and Y axes, do a regression, and you see that these slopes reverse. And the average of the two is the same. So there's really not that much of an improvement. Total phosphorus loss, we couldn't do particulate P loss because we didn't have dissolved P loss measures in all of them. Again, similar amount of scatter. Won't say too much about the residuals here. We actually see a better correlation with the Apple model. The model efficiency is less bad. So anything below zero, what you're saying is you could take the average value of your observations and do a better job than the model in predicting that data set. The p-bias, both negative, but again, we go back to this North Carolina data set. If we remove that, then we're minus 22 and 17. So about the same, one side or the other. Mean absolute percent error, 86, 79%. And then the slope is the same. So I will skip that. So in conclusions, the Apple model generally, consistently predicts greater dissolved P losses than TBET. TBET consistently predicts greater particulate P losses than Apple. Both models provided relatively poor predictions of the measured P loss. And what I didn't show you there is how the models do in categorizing. If we just break up if we treat these models like we would an index and say if the model predicts a certain range in values, we'll say low or medium or high, and we compare that with the observed categorization, the TBET did a little better than Apple, but not strikingly so. So with that, and I want to point out that basically all my co-authors, except for me, are funded on the NRCS CIG grant. Yeah. Well, for one thing, yeah, Apple doesn't account for tile drains. So I would say probably worse. I would say probably worse. Yeah, Nathan?
Yeah, so your conclusion for the phone models did somewhat poorly compared to most of them. How much of that do you think is perhaps due to poor measurement of runoff and set of loss that were used as inputs?
Right.
Or part of TBET? There's parts of it.
Yeah, so if we have a calibrated model, would it improve, is what you're asking?
Yeah, better sediment, and you wrote the sediment and runoff prediction model, would the phosphorus loss be a lot better?
Yes, in fact, I think we've looked at some of the calibrations, and we see an improvement, and David could address this, we see some improvement, but it's not out of the ballpark improvement, correct?
I think the runoff is wants to be good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're having.
At high losses. That's low, we predict low, and it's good.
Right.